Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Vlad Harris here. I'd like to take a second to introduce our newest friends from SeatGeek. Let them take the confusion out of your ticket buying experience. Instead of shopping dozens of sites to find the best deal, let SeatGeek do the work for you. Their app scans the web for the best deals to your favorite game, concert, or show and rates them on a scale of 0 to 10 to let you know if you're getting the best bang for your buck. A green dot marks great deals, yellow dot good, and red dot not so good. Use promo code ACAA at checkout to receive $20 off your first purchase. That's 2 free beers at the stadium on them. What are you waiting for? That's promo code ACAA for $20 off your first purchase. SeatGeek Life's event, we have the tickets. Hey guys, it's Vlad Harris here with another Panther Reigns podcast. Welcome back. As we get to a slow period, as you know, I only did one show last week, and I'm probably going to do... Well, I'm trying to get some guests on the show as well, because I've not done that. And I'm in the process of testing some audio conferencing equipment. Right now, my hurdle is the recording part of it. Is getting it, the whole conferencing recorded. I wanted to do it in the form of a phone call, but of course, none of that works. So, I'm working on some things, and I got, some people of mine I'm going to have on the show. I got one confirmed, one person had interest, and he hasn't replied back to me, so... I don't know, but I got some other ideas up my sleeve because as we get to a slow period, I can only babble about so much, and really, it's slow for pit stuff. I mean, as far as pit goes, not much going on. I mean, well, for pit women's hoops, Asia Bug, she got an extra year of eligibility, I believe, because she was hurt last year. So that's awesome that she gets the finish shot. Gets another full season. But, Jeff Capel is out recruiting, and I guess people aren't happy with what he's been doing so far, that he's not winning, I guess, some battles. That happens. Pit basketball, has work to do, especially in the ACC. We thought maybe the transition would be seamless from Big East to ACC, and really, we got a lot of things going on because, for one thing, our facilities aren't as good as everybody else's, whereas we had, some really bad Catholic schools to bully in the Big East. And top of that, we had South Florida as well. I mean, that's the thing about the Big East is there were so many members. We had plenty of teams in that conference we can bully. I mean, over half of the conference we could. Now, not so much with the ACC. It's a little different. We don't have teams we can bully. Because they've upgraded. For one thing, they have football programs, and they've upgraded their facilities. And they've, and their people donate. So there you go. But, as far as local sports, Pirates, they're hovering around 500. Things have been quiet on the Steelers front ever since the whole Le'Veon Bell, the draft, everything. The Penguins, I guess the biggest story now is trading Malkin because he's 33. Obviously, you want to give Malkin to a contender, you want to give him to somebody who desperately needs him, I guess you can say. The thing is, though, is how does he... One thing, can they do it? And two... Will some of our teams take the bait? I mean, how is he going to be without Sidney Crosby, without, being away from the Penguins? It's hard to say. When Pierre Neville left the Pens, he was still a good player. He didn't set the world on fire. Jágr, same thing. Jágr was still good, but he didn't get that. It seemed like he didn't have that star power like he did when he was with Pittsburgh. Maybe because he was there, but like the Capitals traded for him, obviously, and Washington really didn't do a whole lot with him. And then I guess he bounced to the Rangers, and then he went to play overseas, and he came back and bounced around several teams, and now he's playing somewhere overseas again because nobody in NHL wanted to sign him, which kind of sucks because the guy, for as long as he played, regardless of people's feelings of him, he's the guy still a treasure. And we were all spoiled that we could still see him in 2020. As far as 2016, still playing, that's phenomenal. But anyways, let's get to some of the stuff that's happened. Oh, yes, the Kentucky Derby happened. And this was fun, to say the least. I logged into my bookie and I placed a bet on Maximum Security, and I have a lot of buddies who, they gamble on horses. They've done it for maybe 20, 30 years, and they're very, of course, these guys are older than me, but, met a lot of them. I met from work because I worked at an off-track betting facility. I worked at, Labrokes, which is part of the Meadows, and they had them, Labrokes, they had one in West Mifflin, which I worked at. There's one in Greensburg, there's one in Harmerville, and I think there was another one somewhere else. But they were really popular one time, and some of these guys I met there, and of course we crossed paths professionally later years. But I reached out to them before the Derby and asked them who they liked, and they're not going to give all their picks out because, it's like taking a test and giving somebody else asking for the answers, which still, which in my case I can understand because, there was times where I went for like a certification course and I would get certified in something. And then of course you get the other person saying, oh, how did you do that? What tests did you take? What books did you read? Do you know all the questions? And it's like, okay, I went through all this hard work to learn this stuff, and now you want the fucking Cliff Notes? And it's like that with anything you learn, you take on. You take it on, and then those people who wanted nothing to do with it, it doesn't have to be like a test or a certification. It can just be anything you take on. They want to know what it is because they want to, basically leech off of you. So I asked him, I was like, who do you like? He liked Maximum Security. So I placed a 20 on Maximum Security. The payout was $180 if I won. So I was busy with my kids that day when my daughter was sick with strep throat. And I really didn't, really watch the race, but I went on Twitter. The race just concluded. And Maximum Security was declared the winner. So I went, first thing I did was log into my account, and sure enough, my balance was over $200. And I was geeked. I was like, yeah. And I was ready to do the snapshot it, the screen capture, and post it on Twitter. But then I saw that it was under review. And I was like, I'm just going to hold off on this for right now. In fact, maybe it's not a good idea that I post my winnings, my winning at all. So, sure enough, the horse got disqualified, and the country town or country whatever the hell his name was won the race, and he was a 65-1 odd. I know in Vegas, I'm betting he was 30-1. So if I'd have placed a 20 on him, the horse would have paid me 600. And looking back, I probably should just bet on the long shot just for the hell of it anyway. But I didn't. But oh well. And all I could really do was laugh at it. My horse gambling buddies, I tried to reach out to them after the race, and they were, no emails were being replied to, no texts, no nothing. And the next day, I guess, one of my friends went off on a tangent. Let's see, first of all, his first email. He posted his entire betting ticket. And pretty much, he lost a total of $3,903 in total winnings. So if Maxim Security would have won, he would have won about almost $4,000. So, yeah, he wasn't happy. And, So then the next email, he says, "Country Pig will never win another race. The owners are healthy horse breeders. They will appeal, then sue if necessary. They will get purse money, $1.8 million. Bettors are screwed, as always." And then, of course, supposedly another email. Let me see here. He goes, "Owner Gary West just said Maxim Security will not race in the Preakness. I would have done the same thing. Country Pig up the track." And of course, yep. There was a lot more than that. And of course, he tapped it off with, he supposedly was writing a letter to the, oh, here it is. "I'm drafting a letter to the President Churchill Downs. I know I will never get paid, but it'll be fun stroking these idiots." So basically, he's obviously not taking this too well. This person who sent these emails, he doesn't like the Steelers. And when the Steelers won the Super Bowl in 2006... Well, the season was 2005, but they won it in 2000, because it carries on. He wrote he got really pissed off over it because he thought the Saints got hosed, and he was so mad about them Steelers winning a Super Bowl. And on top of that, he's mad because, he hates the Steelers, and he has to live in a city where they're going to be celebrating the hell out of it. And also, he hates the Rooneys. So he actually wrote a letter to the NFL calling them out on their bad officiating from that game. And as much as I hate, as much as that Super Bowl was, as boring as that Super Bowl was, I should say, and it kind of was badly officiated on both sides. I mean, the whole thing sucked. I mean, the game sucked. I'm just happy. The only thing I was happy about is we won, so I can, I can die in peace, knowing I wouldn't, my team won't go to the Super Bowl and win it this time. But he drafted a letter and wrote a letter to the NFL, and accused them of controlling the outcomes of games and scripting games, which is what the NFL really, has done a lot. It just feels like a lot of games are scripted, and it's just like, it feels like it's WWE, and I always have always said that the NFL is glorified studio wrestling. But as far as this whole derby thing goes, one, the person that, the jockey interfered with, he wasn't really impacted because he was going to lose the race anyway, and even that jockey, that horse, even said the same thing. He said, "Yeah, we were going to lose that anyway, so it really didn't matter." And really, if anything, it should, you know, my opinion should have stood the way it was. But the Kentucky Derby, just like other sports, is getting into this habit of doing what's right. And sometimes doing it what's a little bit right too much. And what I mean by this was, and that's people just complain a lot. People get outraged too much. And now we're getting a point where now we're, you know, the NFL now is reviewing pass interference calls for one thing. And it's because of what happened with the Saints. And if people don't seem to understand, yeah, it was shitty what happened there, but the Saints had opportunities to win that game. And, you know, they could have, you know, not to mention they had the first possession overtime and they throw a pick. But because of what happened and the outrage, NFL decided to do what's right, you know, quote unquote, do what's right. But, you know, I have no issues with it. But I just feel like sometimes doing what's right, if you're doing it too much, it can suck out the game. And it may lead to more things that get reviewed, or heck, even games get replayed. I mean, I think at some point you have to draw the line on some of these things. I mean, do you review if it's going to impact the game? Because we've seen a lot of these things where you know it got impacted, but the horse racing thing I don't think needed to be reviewed because it didn't impact the horse that won, really. You know, the horse just, you know, the horse lost. The horse wasn't interfered with. But yeah, it's just, we're at a point now where even in horse racing, they're trying to hit the review too much. All that ain't really done it, but you know, I guess you're catching my grift. I mean, pretty soon in football, we're going to start reviewing holding calls. Baseball, we're going to review slides. Heck, we're going to start replaying games. So, I guess what I'm saying is, I understand we're trying to, you know, do things to make things right. But in some instances, are we doing what's right too much to suck out the game? And I think, is there a line to be drawn? I mean, there's just some things we got to think about when we make these rules. You know, when the NFL changes rules or we have these reviews and things like that. So, just things to take into account. You know, because for one thing you're doing, you may be impacting another thing. I mean, right now we're, you know, going off the sports thing and the politics, you know, we have a big-ass Democratic race. Elizabeth Warren wants to forgive college loans. Which, you know, she has a plan for it, of how she wants to do it. But the thing is, all I can say is be careful what you wish for, because the government isn't, all that money that the government is owed or whatever agency they deal with is owed, they're going to collect that money somehow. And it won't be from loans. If they're going to forgive it, they're going to find a way to recover that money, because you know, obviously our government likes money and they're going to find a way to make it back. And of course, you know, I saw a tweet about somebody mentioning about open enrollment. If you know, government run healthcare would eliminate open enrollment. You know, Well, here's the thing about open enrollment. I know, and I guess he was trying to say is it takes away the annoyance of open enrollment. But when you have open enrollment, your employer usually gives you a time period as to when to enroll, you know, your deadline to enroll. So to me, open enrollment isn't really annoying to me at all. Because, you know, my employer gives, you know, they usually give you, you know, a month at the least to make your, you know, your benefit elections. So, you log in your page or whatnot, and you review it. I mean, I do it every year. I review how much it's going to cost every year. I mean, if it's going up, if it's going down. I look at the coverages, if they've changed anything at all. And really, I mean, there's nothing really bad with open enrollment. It's just, they give you a deadline. It's a pretty generous one. Just make sure you make your elections, and if you need to go back and change them, you can. And, of course, if you have a kid and stuff like that, or if it's a life-altering event, they'll let you modify what's your elections and things, or modify your coverage. I think the issue with more of government-run healthcare is you want to make sure everybody, even government officials, are having the same plan. Everybody has the same plan. Everybody pays the same. Coverage the same. Everything is the same down the line. But then what happens, you know, when you have a new cabinet come in? Say if Trump leaves. Say if Trump has the government-run health care. And it's glorious. It's a glorious health care. A great health care. And the next president comes in and does something with it. Alters it. Jacks the prices. So it's just, there's a lot of things with government-run healthcare you got to think about. Is it going to be the same fee or the same tax, whatever you're going to pay? Because, you know, free healthcare isn't free healthcare. It's the money's coming from somewhere. So, I mean, is it going to go up because of this, of certain things, or is it, you know, it just, there's a lot of things you got to factor in when talking about these things. In other words, they're not easy. Anyways, guys, enough of that. Let's go to the NBA playoffs. Now, so far it's been an exciting playoffs. In the Western side, we got the Rockets and Warriors tied at 2-2 now. If the Rockets would have played things smart in game one, in other words, if they would have stopped bitching about the refs and played their game in game one, they'd be up in the series 3-1 and hopefully going to Oakland and closing out the series. But they're 2-2. I'm not sure how this is going to go when they go, obviously the momentum's on their side. But Golden State has home court advantage because, you know, two of the last three games are at Golden State. Or, you know, the last one if necessary. So, I'm not sure how this is going to go. But people were worried last year about, after Chris Paul's injury, and it was the big issue. After he got hurt, they lost the next two games. I think this time around, it's a little different. Chris Paul really isn't, you know, the same Chris Paul as we've known in the NBA. He's, to me, when I watch him, he's still decent, but he's just a shell of himself. And I think, you know, this is more, if anything, you want the ball in James Harden's hands this time around. Steph and Clay are struggling shooting the ball. Steph's wife is all pissed off because she's not getting, because not enough guys are hitting on her. Because, you know, with Steph being an NBA player, he gets the women thrown at him. You know, if Ayesha Curry wants attention, all she has to do is open up her DMs on Twitter. And I'm sure all the attention she wants, lots of eggplants, will be flying through her inbox. You know, so I really think, you know, it's just too literally. I think she's just taking things too literal. And it's really ain't that serious. But Denver and Portland play tonight. I'm sure when this podcast is uploaded, or by the time you listen to it, it will already be, you know, the game will pretty much be over. But I think I like Denver tonight. I really like Portland, but the game's at Denver, and I think, you know, they just won the last game, and I know that crowd's going to be ferocious. So I like Denver in that one. Pretty much, you know, Dame and CJ are going to have to, they're going to have to really come in tonight and make noise if Portland, you know, wants to win this. This, you know, on the Eastern Conference side, the Sixers play tonight against the Raptors, and they're at Toronto. Joel Embiid is sick again, and he's been sick all series, which I don't get. I'm not sure if he has diarrhea. I'm not sure if he has infection. I'm not sure what's going on with him, but there's that drama going on, and they're going to need him tonight, against Toronto. You know, Sixers' big only chance pretty much is they're going to have to. If Embiid's hurt, you gotta work things through Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, and Jimmy Butler. Raptors side, they need a big game from Kawhi Leonard. Now, the Bucks and Celtics, Bucks are up 3-1, and you know, the Celtics, I watched them play a bunch of times, but they just seem very small compared to the Bucks. And really, their only chance is to shut down Giannis and hope and try to get the other guys from the Bucks to beat them. And unfortunately, they're getting run out of town by some has-beens and never will-bes. And I just think that series is pretty much done. They were needing to click on all cylinders to even beat the Bucks, and it's just not going to happen. So we're looking at probably Bucks. The NBA, I think, would love the Sixers for television purposes. So I would still say Bucks and Sixers. And the other side, I still like Golden State. Although Rockets have momentum, but we've all been there before with them. And of course, like the Nuggets. So Denver and the Warriors, and probably the Bucks and the Sixers. So should be an interesting thing. Other than that, there's not much else going on. The Stanley Cup playoffs. That's a crappy thing I hate about living in a NHL city, or a non-NHL city, I should say. Now, the one side of the bracket you got, if we were going by the old school way, the Wales Conference, you got Boston and Carolina in the semis. And, of course, the Campbell Conference, they're still in the quarterfinals as the Dallas Stars and the St. Louis Blues are tied at 3-3. And, of course, the Sharks and the Avalanche are tied at 3-3. So when those two teams win, not sure who they'll be, then the Campbell Conference will be set. But of course, I guess the NHL does East and West still, I guess. Although I still, you know, growing up, for me, I was all about the Patrick Division, Wales Conference, Campbell Conference, and whatnot. You know, that's what I was raised on. I remember when the NHL changed it, and of course they changed all kind of leagues. But yeah, it's going to be, regardless, it's going to be a pretty much a pretty interesting sets of, you know, teams. I mean, of course, Boston from the original six, and the rest of them are just teams that there were, you know, St. Louis has been around for a good while, and the Stars were pretty much grandfather from the Minnesota Stars. And then you got the Avalanche, who came from the Quebec Nordiques. And then you got San Jose, who were expansion team in 1990. So, yeah. Pretty interesting group of teams, and I wish if I watched hockey more, I can talk about it more. And maybe I should do that. Maybe get a hockey resource on. on my show. Wouldn't help. Wouldn't hurt at all. Anyways, guys, I'm almost at the 30-minute mark. What team to bet on this week? The truth is, I don't know who's going to win, but I think, you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is long as important who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet on MyBookie. And trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great online reviews, and their mobile site is easy to use. Join now and they'll match your deposit by 50%. So if you play $100, they give you 50. Enter the promo code Panther25 to activate it. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, guys. I'll check out here. Hell to Pit.